looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you at Big Y Grocery Store, C-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuaid, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Kimbrel deals in the air, deep left field, hit well. Benintendi on the run. He's got it! And the Boston Red Sox are headed to the World Series. The Red Sox will celebrate on the road once again.
Looks like another week of the Baseball Reporters, Jimmy Stewart. Maybe two, really, right?
As long as they win it, I'm in.
As long as the Red Sox keep winning, we'll still keep having a show. I'd like to thank the Red Sox for taking us into October. 617-779-0985 is number here on the Baseball Reporters. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, I'll ask to open up the phone lines right away because I know a lot of you have a lot to say, and rightfully so. And maybe some of you might even have stuff to say at me, angrily. Which, again, I would say on a day like today, totally acceptable.
Yeah, Maz, you didn't believe in them.
Completely 100% acceptable. But before we get to all that quickly, the Baseball Reporters Playoff Edition presented by Budweiser. Thanks to our friends at Budweiser. Boston, this Bud's for you, and today especially the Bud's for you.
How do you like JD Martinez now, Maz?
617-779-0985. So here's where I want to start. Okay, because I was giving this some thought this morning. I actually wrote this for our website, 985thesportshub.com, the behind-the-scenes blog. This really isn't just about 2018. This really is more about the last 3 years. It's about 2016. It's about 2017. It's about 2018. And a lot of you give me, in particular, grief for being, quote-unquote, too negative, don't enjoy it, all of which is probably true, ultimately. I do have a tendency and a knack. Look at the next thing, before I finish the first thing, enjoy the first thing. It's just, I am what I am. What can I tell you? That is my nature. And I remember years ago, remember John Valentin, Jimmy, the shortstop, second baseman, third baseman?
Third baseman, love the man.
Infielder, John Valentin, who played for the Red Sox. The Red Sox were having a good year and things were good around the team. And I remember saying to him something like, man, this is a great place to play baseball. And he says, yeah, when you win. And Valentin had this little squeaky-eyed voice. Not that I should talk. Yeah, when you win, but it's a bad place to lose. And so, you know what? Here's what I would tell you. Who wants to be in a good place to lose? Do you want to be in a good place to lose? Would you rather be in Atlanta or Miami where nobody gives a crap? Or Phoenix or Anaheim? You want to be in one of those places, or do you want to be in a place where it matters when you lose and it matters when you win? So like it's like that old line from Bull Durham. And you can say this today as a Red Sox fan. You remember the lineup? All of a sudden, the team in Bull Durham get on a win streak, and Tim Robbins' character, Nuke LaLoosh, starts going up and down the bus because they're having a grand old time. Do you remember what he said?
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
You got that right. Better than losing. Better than losing, David Price. Isn't it good? Feels pretty good to win like that last night, doesn't it? So here's what I would tell you about the Red Sox. Over the last 2 years, and I think this is the point that a lot of us were trying to drive home, and this isn't an I told you so or anything of the like. Because honestly, I think a lot of you feel the same way. This Red Sox team over the last 2 years, they won 93 games each of the last 2 years. They finished in first each of the last 2 years. And yet, because of the way it ended, many of us looked at them and said, what a disappointment. Because when it mattered, they couldn't win. And because ultimately, and this is the bigger thing for me, we knew that they were capable of more. We knew the talent of Mookie Betts. We knew the talent of Xander Bogaerts. We knew the talent of David Price. We just didn't know why it didn't show up in October, other than to say he chokes. Okay, and that's sort of a general elementary way of saying he didn't come through in the big moments. But at the end of the day, They didn't win the big ones, and they were capable of doing it. So can't we look at it now and say, see, we were right? And I'm not telling you J.D. Martinez doesn't make a difference, because he does. He makes an enormous difference. But so does Alex Cora, which speaks to the mindset and the culture and the mentality. That Price thing last night, we'll get to Price specifically in a minute, but that performance, he was nails. He was nails. And we said some of this last night on the postgame show on NBC Sports Boston. It's one thing to get your first playoff win in a game you win 7-4. You give up in 3 runs in 5 innings. They go to the bullpen. You're okay, but a W is a W. And then to do it the way Price did it last night. Okay, Price last night in Houston was the best player on the field. He was the best performer on the field. And now 2 rounds in, the Red Sox have beaten the Yankees and the Astros, going 7-2 and 5-0 on the road. Okay? Today especially, you're not going to hear me take any credit away from them. Now, they still have to win it all, and the stakes change. Because now that they're in the World Series, boy, it's going to be really hard to accept them losing it. After they get by the Yankees and Astros, what are they going to do now? Lose? They can't lose. They're going to be favored no matter who they play. They need to win the series. But that said, finally, some validation for these guys, because as good as they've been over the last couple of years, they're better than they finished the last 2 years, and I think now we can all agree on that. We'll kick it off tonight with Nick, who's in Blackstone, wants to talk about David Price, who was indisputably the story of the game last night. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Matt, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
So he was talking in his post-game interview, and he's kind of bringing up that he was in the bullpen the night before, obviously, threw a lot of pitches, and he mentioned he kind of figured something out that worked for him, and then he comes out, he throws the most changeups he's thrown probably all season, maybe the fastest he's thrown all season. I mean, it's just, like, how do you figure something out like that? And, I mean, good for him. Do you think he'll be able to carry it over?
So, Nick, let me just ask you, when he says that he figured something out, do you think it was mechanical or do you think it was mental?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both, because obviously he's a basket case and gets in his own head. But, I mean, he must have figured something out mechanically, because his location was the best, arguably, that it's been all season. He's hit 95 on the gun. His changeups are absolutely filthy. It seemed like it was just all a complete 180 from where we expected.
So and look, the reason I asked that is because
I think it's cause and effect, and I think that it's all mental. And once,
see, I'm with you, Murray. Go ahead.
Unburdened of what the hell is bothering him with every other postseason start, seemingly. I think, and I said it during the afternoon show, part of me is like, because it felt like the Astros were just so kind of shaken up here, especially in these last couple of games, that maybe he looked across into that dugout and said, oh, that's what I normally look like? Whew. I know I don't feel like that right now. I feel pretty confident going into a game. We're up 3-1, playing with house money. What do I got to lose here? Especially on short rest. I'm just going to fling it. And he went out there, and he was able to, because he wasn't burdening himself with all that mental weight that's been, you know, keeping him down here year after year and postseason after postseason.
See, that's what
and
I think.
And that's why his pitches looked so good.
See, that's what I think it is, Murray, too. I think that the ease in performing comes after you just free your head. You clear your head, rather. You know, just free yourself of all that crap that's in your ears. So when he says, you know, I sort of found something, I think he found there was some routine or some realization he came to, like, what's the big deal? Well, just go out and pitch. You got the ability. You've always had the ability. Just go out and pitch. What's the problem? Because to me, what was getting in the way is him. It was him.
Oh, definitely.
You know, it's like anyone else says, if I say, Murray, go throw that piece of paper in the trash. You get up, you throw it in the trash. Do you sit there and go, well, I need to put my arm at this angle, and I need to, you know, I'll keep my elbow into my body and place my hand over the barrel and drop it. Once you start doing that,
yeah, you're doomed.
You're screwed.
Yeah.
Nobody can do anything that way. You just have to just let your body take over, just by rote. And so, to me, that's what happened. Price came to some sort of epiphany. And look, I think, you mentioned this yesterday, Murray, and it cannot be overlooked. It's set up right for him. They were up 3-1. He was up in the bullpen the night before. So there was a chance he was coming in relief. They shortened the routine on him because it was 3 days of rest. So all of these things were going on, and he didn't have time to focus on the start. And then he got to the mound and just pitch. Just pitch. And he was freaking nails in that game. He was absolute nails. Eddie's in a car. Eddie, go.
Hey, I know they played in Houston last night and Boston. What was it, game two? Price pitched. He did all right. Back to April when he was having numbness in his hands from the cold. Does he look anything like maybe one of the regular season heroes from the NFL that couldn't quite always put it together in the playoffs?
Yeah, Eddie, honestly, I'm having trouble hearing you a little bit. All I can tell you with prices, whatever it is last night, everything came together and it worked. So, again, it is one thing to win a game where you get good run support. You maybe give up a few hits. You walk a couple of guys. You give up three runs. But your team was ahead the whole time. You get the win. Okay, like, those are all. It's another thing to be the guy that drives it. That was a nothing game past the halfway point, or 1-0 game past the halfway point. It was scoreless early, and you had the feeling that when J.D. Martinez hit the ball out of the ballpark, there was a feeling of, that might be it. That might be the only run of the game. Like that, if that thought didn't cross your mind, it should have. Because Price looked like he was on, and Verlander is Verlander, and I didn't think Verlander was getting this game. But Price, he did not budge an inch. Not a fraction of an inch. He held that line the whole time he was on the mound. For 6 full innings, he nailed it. We'll give you some of the stats or the details on that performance when we come back. Because, again, Price was the story last night. The Red Sox themselves as an entity are also a story, and we'll certainly take your calls on all of it.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter with Tony Maserata. Show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I saw him last year, I think it was Father's Day. He pitched against Houston in Houston, and he pitched well. I saw him in the playoffs against the Astros. He pitched well. This year, he pitched in Houston that Saturday, pitched well against them, and he pitched here against the Astros and pitched well again. I know how good he is. I know he's been he's pitched well against them, and I trust the guy.
This isn't about me. You know, I understand the narratives. I get that. You know, I deserve those narratives, but this is bigger than David Price. This isn't about me. This is about the Boston Red Sox.
And a strikeout for Price. Called strike 3. David Price has excellent command to start. 2 outs. Price deals, and it's a called strike 3. The swing and a miss. David Price spots that fastball on the inside corner again. He picks up his 5th strikeout, and he got him. That is strikeout number 8. Marisnik right off the end of the bat. Price fields it, throws it low, dug out, and it's in time. What a play. Price over to first base, and the Gold Glover, Mitch Moreland. David Price is through 5. And a swing and a miss. It's his 9th strikeout for David Price. And I'm sure David Price has mountains and mountains of crow to dish out, because he finally has his moment as a starter. 6 innings, no runs, and his first career postseason win sends the Red Sox to the World Series.
You've said that it doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. All that matters is how you perform on this grand stage in the postseason. Does pitching your team to the World Series sound like enough?
Not yet, no. Not for me. You know, not for the other guys in the clubhouse. You know, we got 4 more wins. That was very, very special. Absolutely, but we want more.
So the first 3 batters of the night last night for David Price, in the event you forget. First 3 batters of the night. Alex Bregman, first pitch of the game, hit one to Andrew Benintendi for an out. George Springer struck out swinging. Pretty sure that last pitch that Springer struck out on was a changeup. And then Jose Altuve came to the plate. Count was 2-1, foul ball 2-2, then 3-2. He singled, and then Price struck out correct. But the reason why I take you through that inning, the 3-2 pitch that Price threw to Altuve for the single was the only pitch he threw on 3 balls the whole night. He had 1 3-ball count. 1. It was to Altuve in the first inning. The rest of the night, he was pounding the strike zone relentlessly. And one of the best parts of the performance, and it was a small little thing in the middle, but I think we all noticed it. And Brian Anderson, the play-by-play man, to his credit, and I'm not a fan of Anderson, but I thought he was pretty good in the game last night. Anderson, in the middle innings, it was after the Red Sox had gotten the lead, J.D. Martinez hit the home run off of Verlander to make it 1-0. And Price, in either the bottom of the third or the bottom of the fourth, the velocity went up. I mean, like, I found this to be fascinating. This guy with this mental block and this absolute barrier that he had to break through in the month of October, started to smell it with a 1-0 lead. He started to smell it like, I got this. You could see he got into a rhythm. He was throwing his fastball hard, aggressively, inside to right-handed batters, setting up his changeup on the outer part of the plate, and his changeup was off the charts good last night. It really, the combination of the two, he didn't need any other pitchers. Those two, the way he was throwing them, those two were enough. He was money. Absolute nails. 1-3-ball count the whole game. 6 innings, 3 hits, no walks, 9 strikeouts, and I don't think it is a stretch to say you could very easily argue that that was the best Red Sox start of the postseason. Evaldi in New York was good. 7 innings, he went longer, but he gave up a run. Price in this game, that was pretty damn near airtight. Airtight. John's in Bridgewater. John, go ahead.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Big Jim. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I wanted to get you guys' opinion on where this Sox team, how this Sox team compares to past Sox World Series team. Like, this has to be one of the more talented of the four, correct? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, so John, yeah, this came up last night. Murray, just quickly, your opinion on where this this team ranks.
I mean, I couldn't have been more wrong about this team because, look, I spent most of the season mocking their win total because they were cleaning up on terrible competition. But just in terms of talent, they're right up there with 07. You know, I thought that 2017 was a juggernaut, basically wire to wire. They were the rightful World Series champion that year, and they really didn't have many flaws. This team, they're right up there.
I mean, so honestly, it's funny you said that because that's pretty much where I put them. They're better than the 13 team. There's no two ways about that. And the
13, look, as good of a story 13 was, that was, and they had talent too, but that was more of a lightning in a bottle thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Look at the following seasons.
The 04 team was a wagon.
Sure.
Okay, so to me, that one's number one and always will be, and I don't care about the win totals. The 04 team was stacked. They were stacked top to bottom. Schilling, Pedro, Derek Lowe. That's just 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, but
Folk in the bullpen, Timlin, Damon, Veritek, like Ortiz and Manny in their prime.
Yeah, but 04, I think there was a likability factor, obviously. Them coming back down from 3-0 on the Yankees and that whole story. And it was the fact that it was their first World Series in like a million years, you know, like all of that. A lot of people hold that team near and dear in their heart. But 07. 07 was a wagon.
Oh, yeah, they were good. They were really, really good. And I think that this team, in a lot of ways, has had to overcome more than that 07 team did because of the failures of the last 2 years. And I'm sorry, I do. I call them failures. They won 93 games, but they went 1-6 in the playoffs, and they were better than that. They were better than that. They couldn't play to that level for some reason, which brings me to Mike and Pepperell. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Tony, I agree with you. And if you look, you know, they should have gone a lot further. They have basically the same talent. I mean, some of the pieces are different, but I think it goes back to the manager. You look and see, and especially looking at see what Cora's done this year, it's glaring that Farrell, I'm sorry, didn't have a clue or didn't know how to handle his players.
Mike, I think you're dead on. It's clearly there was an inability there of Farrell to connect with the players and get the most out of them. And so the two big changes on this team were J.D. Martinez and Alex Cora. Now, if you were to say to me, if they get J.D. Martinez and it's John Farrell, do they win? My answer would be no. At the same time, if you said to me, well, they don't get J.D., but they get Cora, do they win? My answer is no. So they needed them both. And I put the bat first because if J.D. Martinez is not here, who bats third? Like, it just, you don't have one. Okay, so I to me, that was a big part of it. But Cora has had a profound impact on these players. I don't think we can understate that anymore. Or not that we ever did. But John's in a car. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how are you, Tony?
Good, John. You got to go quickly. Yeah, you got to go quickly just because I have a ton of callers.
Yeah, I just want a quick coaching matchup. The last two series and Dave Roberts coming up. One, Aaron Boone, Cora, right?
Yep. Hinch and Cora. Yep, next round, I don't know. I think Dave Roberts is a good manager, but I think he overmanages. So I want to see how that shakes out. And I'm already assuming the Dodgers win. I like the way Council does things, too, to be honest with you. Council feels like, to me, like he's got a good feel for the game. So I don't think that the gap is going to be there in the next round, and Cora's been pretty good. And honestly, I don't think this thing's over yet. He's still going to win the World Series, and the Dodgers could beat you. But I'll tell you what, we're going to put off some of the matchup stuff till next week. It's only an hour show. And today, really, we should revel in that game last night. 7-2 in the postseason, 5-0 on the road. And they're going to the World Series again for the fourth time in 15 years. And if you are someone from my generation, boy, that just feels like an impossibility, given what you grew up with.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Down he goes. A strikeout for Eovaldi. Two up, two down. As Bregman is now 0-for-4. Second time they've struck him out tonight.
Dropped down a little through the riser at 102. Yeah. Four-seamer by Bregman.
So two parts of this story, and that was Nathan Eovaldi blowing away Alex Bregman in the eighth inning last night, the final at-bat of the season for Alex Bregman. So the first story there is the whole Instagram nonsense with Bregman, and if you don't remember this, I'll refresh your memory quickly. But between games 2 and 3, as the Astros return home, remember Houston lost game 2 at Fenway Park. In between games 2 and 3, Bregman posted on his Instagram account. Was it actual video or images? It was video, right?
Yeah, it was video. It was on his Instagram story.
Okay, so it was video of the Astros hitting back-to-back-to-back home runs against Nathan Eovaldi earlier in the year when Eovaldi was with Tampa Bay. As if to say, yeah, series is 1-1, but we lit this guy up the last time. Here we go, Nathan Eovaldi. The Red Sox obviously won game 3. They won game 4, and they won game 5. And Eovaldi was a big factor in this series. He started game 3, won it, and also came back and in game 5 pitched an inning of relief. And that last pitch that you heard to Bregman, 102 miles per hour to blow away Bregman. And if you don't think that Eovaldi was standing out, and now Eovaldi downplayed the whole thing between games. He was asked about it in his press conference and took the high road and said, I'm focused on pitching, blah, 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 blah. But if you don't think the Red Sox were talking about it, please, it's professional sports. This goes back to the whole thing with Aaron Judge and New York in the Yankee series. Same kind of thing. So now Eovaldi and Bregman in the eighth inning. Bregman gets into the box, and they have pitched around Bregman the whole series. No fastballs. No fastballs. Eovaldi gasses it up to 102 and blows it right by him. Sit your ass down. Have a nice winter. That's what that was. Part two of the story with Eovaldi is Dave Dombrowski. At the time, some people, Murray, at the deadline, criticized the general manager and president of Red Sox baseball operations for not picking up bullpen help.
You are not alone there, Mess.
They tried to sell us Nathan Eovaldi.
Right.
Were they right?
Yes, they ultimately were right. They being Dave Dombrowski, yes.
So look,
the right decision. He's been nails. He really has.
I mean, he really's been dynamite.
He's their best starter in the postseason.
He's been so 13 innings in as a starter. And what did he go last night? Two thirds or an inning and a third,
yeah.
I think. So 14 and a third innings in the postseason. Eovaldi's been blowing people away since the postseason started. And now they're in the World Series, and I just don't know how we can go back on it. So Dombrowski, at the time, put stock in Eovaldi, and here's the really great part of this, is that with all the relievers that were moving, the Red Sox identified Eovaldi and said, no, this guy's throwing lights out. I mean, he's been really good. That's a scouting decision. That's not a total analytics decision where you're going based on a guy's career like they did with Sale or like they did with Price or like they did with Kimbrel. This was, no, this guy's got good ability, and when he's on, he's good. And right now, he's on. They nailed it. I mean, they did. They nailed it. So they got Eovaldi right. There's no turning back on that one for people like me. Dombrowski was right. They scouted the guy. They saw that he was at the top of his game. And they probably said we can use him between starts out of the bullpen like they did last night, and it worked. Back to your calls. And one thing I ask just quickly, folks, really, Just try to go quickly because I know a lot of people want to talk about the game, so we're trying to get as many people in as possible. Jeff in a car. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. You talked a lot today about Cora versus Martinez and who had the bigger impact. Brian Anderson said in every game that Mookie Betts was the likely AL MVP. And for my money, it's J.D. Martinez because number one in RBIs, number two in home runs, top three or five in average, and then the team wins 108 games with him versus 93 when it was Mookie's team. And then I know playoffs, quote-unquote, don't count, but look at what they did the last 2 years versus this year. So I was just curious what your opinion is about Betts versus Martinez for MVP, and I just wanted you guys to know that I love you and man hugs all around.
Yeah, we love you too, Jeff. Appreciate that. To me, Martinez was the MVP of the team. I just think that he completely changed the lineup. He's the best hitter in baseball this year, plain and simple. John's in West Bridgewater. John, what do you got? John, you there? No, John? All right, we'll move on from John. He's not there, not ready to go. James is in a car. James, what do you got?
Hey, Maz and Murray. Love you guys. Love the show. Awesome stuff. I'll be quick. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Red Sox resiliency this year in the playoffs. As well as the entire season. I mean, Mitch Moreland gets a hammy injury. Steve Pierce comes in, and he's awesome. Sale has a stomach bug, can't start game five. Price comes in. We all know what he did last night. And I just want to hear your thoughts on that. I'll shut up and listen. Thanks,
yes.
Guys.
So, look, James, one of the great parts of this postseason so far is that the star players like Price really have not been the ones carrying the Red Sox. They've gotten contributions from everywhere. But if you look at all the big hits, Jackie Bradley, who was the series MVP, had three hits in the series. Three-run double, grand slam, two-run homer. Two of those were game winners. One of them put the game away, and that was the grand slam. Bottom of the order guy. Yet last night, 1-0 game. Devers got the hit that decided the game, really, ultimately. Three-run home run, Rafael Devers, again, role player. Go back to the Yankee series, Brock Holt with the big game. Kinsler and Nunez had big hits against the Yankees. Christian Vasquez had big hits against the Yankees. Now Betts has had some big defensive plays in the series, no two ways about it. But they've gotten contributions from all areas, specifically the bottom part of the lineup, right? And Eovaldi, and Brazier, and Barnes. And if you ask me, it's not the big money guys that have won this for him. Duncan's in Norwood. Go ahead, Duncan.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think this series, and particularly this game, is great for not only the Red Sox, but for Major League Baseball, because it turns the fair-weather fan into an avid fan, and it pays dividends down the line in the World Series. Wait till these guys come on the field, and everybody's going to be clapping for them. It is going to be fantastic, and it's going to pay dividends next year when attendance is going to be up, and it's going to be great for baseball as well.
Well, Duncan, look, I think it's going to pay dividends for the Red Sox. I don't think you're going to see any appreciable uptick in Major League Baseball interest around the country. So people in Boston, we just have to accept the reality. It's not the same anymore. It's not what it was here. You know, baseball's not what it was, first of all. And even Boston's not the same as it was 15 years ago. So it's not going to have the impact I think you think it is nationally. Do I think the Red Sox are going to have better TV ratings next year? Yes, I do. Okay, yes, I do. So that part I agree with. But I will say, with regard to the start of the World Series, when rosters are announced, when David Price takes the field for Game 1, when they go through the whole roster and do the traditional customary introductions for Game 1 of the World Series, and they get to David Price, boy, it'd be nice to be in that ballpark that night. I mean, I think the hair on the back of your neck is going to stand up. James is in Taunton. James, go.
Hey, what's going on, Matt? So, did they announce the starting lineup for the World Series yet? Is David Price starting Game 1?
No, they have not announced. I think the only thing is that Cora did say Sale will pitch Game 1, Murray?
Yes. Yeah, he spoke today, said Sale's getting Game 1 Tuesday night, and that Price would probably start Game 2, but he wants to wait until they figure out who they're going to play first in terms of setting up the rotation.
Matt in South Boston wants to talk about how the series went, and I think has an interesting point. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Maz. How you doing? First time, long time. Did just want to call here. As much as the credit that the Red Sox deserve for winning a series like this, I think a lot of this series was handed to them by the Astros. What I mean by that is it seemed like they were almost disinterested coming into the series, that they were going to walk all over the Red Sox. Then all of a sudden they find themselves in a hole, and that's when the Red Sox really pounce. They made a lot of errors early on in the game. This isn't to discredit the Red Sox by any stretch of the imagination. Good teams do make errors or make bad teams mistakes. They capitalized on them, which the Red Sox did, and that's a credit to them. But I do think that the Astros really handed this series to the Red Sox and let it there for the taking. I'm going to hang up and let you guys talk about it.
So, Matt, I would tell you that I think that that was particularly true in Game 4. So in Game 4, wild pitches, putting guys on base, you know, walks, hit batters, the whole nine yards. I mean, really, they made so many mistakes, for crying out loud. That yes, absolutely right.
I mean, gutlessness from their bullpen. They hold on to a, 5-4 lead at the time. Then they give that right back in the sixth. The Betts hits that 2-run home run. Like, they couldn't get the hell out of their own way in that game.
Absolutely. What mistakes did the Astros make last night?
No, nothing. Right? No, I think so. I think what ultimately ended up happening was, you know, you got to give credit to the Red Sox here and for how they were, especially their approach at the plate was so patient. Getting those, you saw how much they were frustrating the starters and the bullpen of the Houston Astros. That's credit to them. So, okay, so there was some sloppiness, but sloppiness turned to frustration, you know, especially in a game like last night.
I mean, to me, last night, David Price stuck it to him.
Right. Nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, that's what happened last night. That was just a really good pitcher at the top of his game sticking it to you. That's what that was. So what are you going to say? Well, you didn't swing the bat well? Price was awesome last night. Price would have beaten just about any team. In fact, he would have beaten any team in baseball last night. He was that good. Okay, that's as good as you're going to see a guy throw. Fastballs on the corner, changeups on the opposite side of the plate. When he missed down, and he went to a three-ball count once in the first inning to Jose Altuve, the third batter of the game. On the next 18 batters, David Price did not go to a three-ball count again. Didn't do it again. Last night, Price stuck it to him. The Astros didn't lose last night. David Price won. And that's one of the good stories about the Price game two, or the Price story, is that this was not a win he backed into or anything like that. David Price went out and broke through. He broke through by being absolutely masterful.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5.